On this Christmas Eve, it's my pleasure to welcome you to the warmth and beauty and sense of expectation that this service of worship offers all of us tonight. We've been looking forward to spending this hour with you for a long time, and I hope you've been looking forward to it. It's become a tradition here in the whole Bay Area for many of us to gather here on what is the most wondrous night of the year to celebrate our Lord's birth. Our goal tonight is to celebrate this part of the good news of Christmas, namely, to grasp again the hope that this season offers to believing hearts. So we invite you in that quest to listen with us to the beautiful music, to hear the story again of our Lord's birth that is never really fully told, and to enjoy the holy moments of lighting candles that you might find will be a moment when the Lord lights the light of hope in your heart tonight. If you happen to be here tonight, alienated from God, feeling distant, maybe skeptical, even cynical, we hope that something will happen in this worship that will be a breakthrough. This might be a time of reconciliation and new beginnings for you. So holding these high expectations, I welcome you to what we traditionally call at the Menlo Park Presbyterian Church, the loveliest night of the year.
Heavenly Father, we have come tonight with joy to give thanks for all that you have done in our lives, for your unfailing love for us, and for the miracle of the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we celebrate tonight that living hope and ask that you shine the everlasting light of his love into the darkness of this world. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As you're seated tonight, will you take a moment and greet those around you with a warm handshake or a hug? This is a family time, so get to know those folks, will you?
Oh. That holy night, so long ago, was mentioned by prophets for centuries before it actually occurred, because it was God's desire to shine a light into the darkness of our lives. And he did that in the form of a baby, the baby Jesus, who would be both human and divine. This event changed the course of history, and this event is what gives us hope tonight. Let's read part of that story again as it's told in both the Old and the New Testament. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. This is the voice of one who calls out. Prepare in the desert the way of the Lord. Make the road in the dry land straight for God. Every valley should be raised up. Every mountain and hill should be made flat. The rough ground should be made smooth. Then the glory of the Lord will be shown. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And all went to be taxed. And Joseph also went up from Galilee into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes. She laid him in a manger because there was no room for them.
Yeah.
The response of those who believe in this Christmas miracle is to allow God to love them through faith in Jesus Christ. Let's read together about those first visitors who responded to that wonderful miracle on a night some 2,000 years ago when God's light broke through. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, an angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all the people. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and peace, goodwill toward men. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen.
Thank you.
sure I speak for all of us when I say I love Christmas Eve. No other service throughout the year seems to offer the same emotion or that kind of bonding between people, the warmth, the love, and above all, the rebirth of hope that we hope will happen in the hearts of those who perhaps are devoid of hope tonight. No wonder we call Christmas the happiest time of the year, because it's related to fulfillment of dreams. Time magazine writes, "The French make the best perfumes, the Swiss make the best watches, and Americans make the best dreams." That's probably true. Dreams are important because they're related to hope. In the most recent U.S. News and World Report, it was reported that Americans this year are careening back and forth between hope and fear. 59% of people polled a few weeks ago feel we should be extremely worried about the future of our country. These facts make the message of the carol tonight so relevant when we heard, "The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee," in Jesus, tonight. Christmas rekindles hope because it reminds us the God who created and sustains this universe came here to visit us in Jesus. And now he knows our fears, our needs, our dreams, our yearnings. The angel Gabriel gave Mary the foundation for Christmas hope when he announced the birth of Jesus. By the way, this week, Time magazine front cover featured a modern look at angels. Just imagine how surprised Mary must have been when an angel arrives telling her, a virgin, that she's going to have a son. And not just a son, but God in the flesh. Joseph and Mary were like any couple of that time. They were planning to have a quiet, normal life, pay their taxes, settle down in a carpenter shop, and enjoy a respectable marriage. But then God invaded their plans by an angel posing this question: is anything impossible with God? That's the key for tonight. We believe that God still surprises people, and he breaks into our lives in unexpected ways, posing this question to us, who this evening might seem to be facing impossible dreams or overwhelming circumstances. And he asks the same question: is anything impossible with God? Christmas reminds us that God came to us in Jesus. He walked in our shoes. He felt what we feel. He understands our cries. He understands our needs. And that kind of knowledge enables us, or can enable us, to hope again, no matter how difficult life might be for us right now. Shortly before her death, Gilda Radner, the comedian, wrote a book, It's Always Something. She had a long struggle with cancer, and this is what she wrote right before her death. "I had wanted to wrap this book up in a neat little package, but now I've learned the hard way that some poems don't rhyme, and some stories don't have a clear beginning or middle or end. And I've discovered that life is full of ambiguity, delicious ambiguities." And you know, that's really the Christmas message. Life has taught us that some poems don't rhyme. Maybe our life stories didn't turn out the way we dreamed they would. Things happen to us that perhaps don't make sense, and we can't correlate with God's love. But the Christmas hope breaks through all of that with the confidence that this God who came in Jesus still invades our ambiguities and our disappointments, so we're no longer alone with them. And he brings his surprises, even when our poems don't rhyme. And he unleashes divine resources and miracles we'd never imagined possible. The angel Gabriel was right. Nothing is impossible with God. I wonder where you need a transfusion of hope tonight. What did you bring with you to the service? Maybe you're young and uncertain about what career to pursue, whether or not marriage is for you, and you wonder about the future. Perhaps a divorce you didn't expect or want makes tonight very painful and tomorrow appear very bleak. Maybe you wanted to be that perfect parent, and yet your children are not what you hoped they would be, and you blame yourself. Financial stress perhaps this year has invaded your life, a career transition that has totally changed your sense of future material security. Maybe you wanted to get things right between you and your parents, and now you've come to realize you'll never be able to get things right. Or you're getting older, and you're struggling to make friends with the inevitable changes that aging brings, even physical death. You know, this list could go on and on. It's probably as varied as our names here tonight. And it's to these very needs Christmas Hope speaks. And it's related to the question of the angel. Is anything impossible with God? And we Christians affirm, absolutely not. Nothing's impossible. No need on that list is beyond the ability of God to help you. I want to share a true story of hope. It's about a couple, Sid and Phoebe Old, who had an impossible dream fulfilled just recently. A developmentally disabled son was born to them. His name is Arthur. For 29 years, this couple had worked with Arthur, giving him every opportunity to speak. Arthur's responses remained a kind of blank wall. Never once were they able to enter the mind and the heart of their son. And then one day, by sheer accident, Arthur sat down and started playing with a typewriter. And to the surprise of everyone, he typed words without ever having been able to speak. That Christmas, this couple's church purchased a laptop computer for Arthur so he could communicate more easily. And the first time Arthur used it, Phoebe, his mother, looked up on the screen and I quote, "There glowing were the sweetest words she had ever read, words pulled from 29 long years of waiting. Quote, I feel happy because now I can tell Mom I love her." This mom and dad persevered 29 years waiting for a miracle in the life of their son, and a light dawned in that darkness. All of us are waiting this Christmas for God to do something. And I pray that tonight somehow that spark of hope will help you rediscover the assurance that the God who came to us in Jesus is watching and he's working in that area where you need him most. He hasn't forgotten. And I trust you're going to find the faith to believe that when your story is finished, you'll praise God forever for that beautiful pattern that he's woven out of what appears to be these hopelessly broken ends and impossible dreams. I need to remind us that this promise of Christmas hope is a promise made to followers of Jesus. And perhaps your greatest need tonight, whether recognized or not, is to get reconnected with God. And we do that, we Christians believe, by coming to know Jesus as Savior, by opening this Christmas gift God sent us in his Son. Remember the Stolpa family? The couple lost in the snow last winter. Remember the father who walked in his tennis shoes through all that freezing cold, all those miles? Why did he do it? Because he loved his family so much, he was willing to do anything in an attempt to save them. Christmas is the story of the God of this universe. For reasons we can never be able to comprehend, he came to us in Jesus. And through the death and resurrection of his own son, Jesus is God doing things, everything to the limits of his divine power to reconnect us with himself, to give us this incredible gift that you can open by faith tonight, namely of having every sin and every mistake and every failure in our past erased, blotted out, gone forever, never to be brought up again. Giving certainty that we can be with God and with those who love him forever in heaven. And giving us assurance that because we're God's children, dreams left unfulfilled in this life can be fulfilled in the life to come, freeing us to live fully now, even if poems don't necessarily rhyme tonight. Now, these treasures can be yours. And I think that's perhaps one reason God brought us here together tonight. So you'd have another chance to look at this gift and open it. And this gift is summarized in a verse that perhaps you've known since childhood, but I want to personalize it for you tonight. For God so loved you that he gave his only son, that by believing in him, you should not perish, but have everlasting life. God did not send his son into the world to condemn you, but that through him, you might be saved. You know, there's a shadow of a cross hanging over that manger. The baby Jesus is also the crucified Savior. When the angel announced to Mary the coming birth, he said, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." I trust that you might hear in the quietness of this hour, because that's how God usually comes to us in a still small voice, that you might hear God's impelling voice saying, "You belong to me. You're forgiven. You're loved. I came for you. I lived for you. I died for you. I defeated death for you. And I'm here tonight for you." If after years of hearing the Christmas story, as a friend of mine told me just last week when we were having lunch, he'd heard the Christmas story for years, but one night it clicked and he became a Christian. Maybe tonight it's going to click for you. Would you accept this gift that God sent, the gift of salvation in his Son? Would you allow yourself to get reconnected with God? And if that happens to be something that's going on in your heart, if you hear that knock of the Spirit tonight, I would invite you to pray this prayer with which I close as we all bow our heads together. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, in the quietness of this holy night, I want to tell you, I believe. I believe you're the Son of God. I'm beginning to understand that you didn't come only to save the world. You came to save me from my sin. I accept your sacrifice on the cross made for my sin. I accept your forgiveness. I want to become a Christian. I want to join your forever family. Lord, it seems so simple, it's almost trite, that I can find a gift this simply by asking for it. But I believe it, and I reach out my hand to receive it. O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to me, I pray. Cast out my sin and enter in. Be born in me today, for I pray in Christ's name. Amen. If by chance you were led to pray that prayer with me tonight, and you'd like to talk about what that means to you, I'd invite you to call the church next week, and one of us will be glad to just sit down personally with you and talk about what it means to follow Jesus Christ. And now let's continue our worship by standing and proclaiming, "Joy to the world, the Lord has come."
Christmas is here. Ding, 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 One seems to hear words of the cheer from everywhere filling the air. Oh, other than praise in the sound, oh, you can tell the chance. Can you read one? They will sing songs of the cheer. Christmas is here. Ding, 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 ding,
thank you.
But what is our response to this child? Sometimes as we come to a Christmas service, we think in terms of what we're going to receive, what we're going to get out of it. But especially tonight on Christmas Eve, we come with an attitude of wanting to give back to God because of his precious gift to us in his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. So as the ushers come forward tonight, we have the privilege of giving back and responding to God in gratitude for what he gave us on that first silent, holy night.
Come now to that time when we would like to light a candle for you. Candles can symbolize many things. The Bible says that when Jesus came, he was a light in the world's darkness. And ever since he came, the darkness has not overcome that light. So if you're here tonight needing light for your darkness, we hope this candle will symbolize that gift of hope for you. Candles can also be sources of celebration. We use them on birthday cakes. This could be a candle celebrating a wonderful year that you've had. a year for which you thank God, and we'd like to just give him glory tonight for what he's done for us. And maybe for some of us, this candle could symbolize that beginning step of faith, where tonight, for the first time, we started to follow Jesus Christ. Interesting things about candles is when they're shared, whether it represents hope in our darkness or rejoicing and praise or even the beginning of faith, when you pass them on to another individual, they grow in their intensity. And we're going to watch the magic of God work now as the light begins to surround us here in our sanctuary tonight.
joy and the peace of Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, be yours not only this night, but also throughout the year. And go in His peace. God bless and Merry Christmas. Good night.